thought it appropriate to talk about Purim. And Swarm said a Megillah. The word Megillah is an introduction, which usually translated as a scroll. It doesn't really mean a scroll. Even in modern Hebrew, it doesn't really mean a scroll. It comes to the root of the word Megillah. Some say is gal, which is a wheel, you know, scroll wheel. But the Swarm say that the real root is Megala, to uncover. And that's what a scroll does, because you see a scroll, there's a lot of hidden stuff inside. It's like a hamantash. That's why you eat hamantash in Amphur. So you, but by unscrolling it, you're uncovering and you're revealing. And the whole idea of the Megillah, and I'd just like to, you know, stress this just a little bit here today, the whole idea of a Megillah is really the idea of uncovering the hidden. You know, they tell a Hasidic story, for a lot of tell Hasidic stories, they say the first Belzer Rebbe was Rav Shalom Rukeach, the first Belzer Rebbe. So they said that he had a good voice. So they brought him in to read the Megillah for the Natali Rupshitz, for the Rupshitzer, who was a big Rebbe at that time. So and the Belzer was a young Rebbe. You know? So they said he read the Megillah. So they asked from Natali Rupshitz afterwards, they said, you know, how did you like the way he read the Megillah? You know, how did you like the way he read the Megillah? So Rav Shalom Belzer said that, rather Natali Rupshitz said, he said, you know, I've heard the story before, but this younger man tells it very well. So, you know, like there's the Megillah is the Megillah, but then there's the Megillah, you know, yeah. The Megillah. So I just wanted to present to you this halacha straight out of Shulchan Aruch here. I have it underlined. It's like the strangest halacha. Hakoyres haMegillah l'mafreya layatze. What does it mean? Halacha is, this is in Hilchos Kriyas haMegillah, all the laws of reading Megillah, you have to stand up, you have to do it with a certain tune. All of a sudden, in the middle of all these practical halachas, if you read the Megillah backwards, you're not yotze. Meaning, if you start from the end of the Megillah and you go to the beginning of the Megillah, you're not yotze. So, like, this begs the question, what kind of a Meshigana would want to read the Megillah backwards? I mean, like, what would be like the Yetzer Hara to read the Megillah backwards? See,
a lot of people read novels. They read the last page.
Read the last page. Oh. No, so that's it. So this is, I was thinking this exact. This is really what I want to say. That if you read the Megillah, so it reads like the Shushan Times. You know, if you just read it, it reads like the Daily News. You know, a bunch of unconnected episodes that seem to have nothing to do with each other. You know, Achashverosh made a meal, very nice. You know, Vashti. You know, the story of Vashti. She didn't want to come out. The story of Haman. You know, a lot of little different stories. And it's not until the end of the whole Megillah that all of a sudden these are not isolated incidents. These aren't just a bunch of little things that happen. This all comes together in a scroll. It all comes together in a Megillah, and there's a theme, and everything works out. And it's just beautiful. The Yad Hashem. You know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like a tremendous artist here, drawing all of the little pieces together to finally come together to be the Yeshua, the Geula of Klal Yisrael. That's the way the Megillah works. We all know the story. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't know the story, you don't see the point of the story, really, until you get to the end. So like, you'd have to be like a Steven Spielberg to come up with a story like this. So you come to the end of the Megillah, and you say, wow, what a beautiful story. Says the Shulchan Aruch, HaKari L'mafreya L'yatza, that you can't start from the end of the book. What does it mean? It means to say that as you go through it, and you don't see any connection, any segue between one point and the other point, you already have to know that this is the Yad Hashem. It doesn't make any sense in isolation. So you know, I'm just thinking just at a personal level that, you know, when it comes to our own lives, you know, I once heard from my Rebbe, the Zion Gesundheit Scheinberg, he said that, speaking once, he said that you know, at that, now he's 85 or something like that, but at the time maybe he was 65. So he said, I look back at my life. He says, I look back at the panorama of events that took place. He says, it all makes perfect sense. But, you know, at the time, it didn't make any sense at all. You know, he was a mashgiach for a certain yeshiva for, I think, 20 years or 25 years. For the whole 25 years, he didn't get paid once. didn't have any money, you know, like you work for a yeshiva. That's why, you know, he didn't get paid once. So he said, what did he do for Parnassa? His brother gave him an Eitzah. Why don't you write a Sefer? You know, you're a big Talmud Chacham, write a Sefer like this. You get $10 a week. Somebody will buy a Sefer, you know. So he said, he came out with the whole, I don't know if you know, Tavas HaChoshin, you know, his magnum opus. Came out because he didn't get paid from the yeshiva. He said, at the end, when he decided to leave and start his own yeshiva, he didn't have money to start a yeshiva, so they gave him his back pay of $150,000 for 25 years. They gave him his back pay, took the money, bought a building in Bensonhurst to start the yeshiva. So he says, at the time, we're not talking about an isolated incident, we're talking about 25 years. So 25 years as an isolated incident, it didn't make any sense. Like, where you know, who is God? You know? But in retrospect, you know, it made perfect sense. I remember he said, but it's not good enough to look at it like that when you're 65, when you're 75. As it's happening, you have to go into it with the amunah that this is already the Ad Hashem. So I would say this is the pshat in the halacha. Kari l'mafreya l'yotzi. You can't start the Megillah from the back and read backwards. Okay, we know the end of the story. Look how everything fits in so nicely. As you go through the Megillah, you have to already see that in here is Amukai. So I just, as an introduction for, I think, something very deep that we have to say today. Now, the Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Lamed Tes, Amud Beis. The Gemara asks here, somewhat of a common question, the Gemara asks here about these three, four. Because the Gemara, Moshe min HaTorah minayim. I mean, Moshe's in the Torah. to ask later on, Esther min HaTorah minayin, Haman min HaTorah minayin, but this question is almost, you know, ununderstandable. Moshe min HaTorah minayin is all over the whole Sefer Shmos. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's no secret. Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara asks Moshe min HaTorah minayin. So the Maral explains that whenever the Gemara asks, and the Ramban, by the way, says this at the beginning of Bereishis too, whenever the Gemara asks minayin, where do we find it in the Torah, the Gemara's not just asking, like, where is there a remez, you know, where do we have a little bit of a hint to this in the Torah? The Gemara is asking a very deep question here. And the question goes like this. The Torah, or in general, Lashon HaKodesh, you know, explains the essence of the thing. Like the Ramban says at the beginning of Bereishis, very important Ramban, says that when Adam HaRishon went around Gan Eden and he gave everything a name, Vayikra Lam Shemois, gave everything a name. So what was the pshat in Adam HaRishon giving everything in the world a name? So the pshat is, it was in Lashon HaKodesh, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says that the pshat is that he didn't just give it an arbitrary name. The name that he gave each creation explained for all future generations, yes, the mahus, the essence of that particular creation. And you can do a whole study on this. You can write books on how each word in Lashon HaKodesh explains exactly the mahus of that particular thing. And the word, I'll just give you an example, like the word ben, word meaning a son, is related to the word binyan. It's connected because it's the essence of the person who's building up. Everything is an essence, and it's tremendous. So the Ramban says, Amari de Gevart, the Ramban says that you find later on in the Teuchacha, where we read about all the terrible things that could happen to the Jewish people should they go away. So it says, Esamaka aksuva b'sefer ha-Torah azayis, Esamaka asher eino aksuva. That's what it said. You want to know what can happen, God forbid, to the Jewish people? Everything that I've written here is HaKadachas V'Shachafas and all the Alu Shvarts Yor that it says over there, that can happen. V'Shamaka Asher Enenok Suva V'Sefer HaTorah. And also that which is not written here. Zok the Ramban, what does it mean, that which is not written here? If you have a Machla, says the Ramban, if you have some kind of a Maka, disease, a plague, if you know at least the essence of that thing, if you know the essence of the plague, so you can have a mahalach, you have a beginning to cure it. What's the problem with cancer? It's not that they don't have the cure, it's that they don't have the essence of it. If we would understand the essence of the disease, if we would understand what the mahus of that disease is, then you can begin trying to cure it. The problem is nobody understands the essence. So the Teuchacha is such that not only will there be Amaka HaKsuva B'Sefer, the Ramban says this, Amaka HaKsuva B'Sefer HaTorah Azayis, where at least you have the word, at least you have it written in the Torah, you can analyze it, you can take it apart. Amaka Shereinenu K'suva, we don't know the atzmius of the thing, we don't know the mahus at all. Says the Maral that whenever the Gemara asks, min ha-Torah minayin, it means to say, what's the pshat? What's the essence? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe min ha-Torah minayin. We know about where Moshe is. Moshe is all over the Torah. But Moshe min ha-Torah minayin, what's the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu? How do we define, how do we touch up a Moshe? Or what the Gemara is going to ask, how do we touch up an Esther? What's the pshat in Esther? You know, like, it's a deep question. What's the essence of Esther? The essence of Hama? So let's learn this Gemara for a minute. Moshe min ha-Torah minayin bishagam hu basa. This is talking about, this is right at the end of Parsha Bereishis, right before Noach. It says, Hanafilim shahayabar, it's Hanavachum Hashem, I'm sorry. Hanafilim hayabar, it's God saw that man is bishagam hu basar. The English translation would be, in the final analysis, man is but a man, is but flesh. Bishagam, at the end of the day, hu basar. And then it says, the admeya ve'esrim shana, akayim oisai. I'm going to say, until 120 years, I'll let him live. In other words, this is the pasuk which talks about the mortality and the humanity of a human person. So where do you see Moshe here? Moshe min ha-Torah minayin, bishagam hu basar. So the answer is that bishagam, bei shin gimel mem, is gematria Moshe. You ever see that? The mem and the shin and the gimel and the bei is equal to hey.
The question of the Gemara really is, Moshe min ha-Torah minayin, how do you know Moshe before we have his name in Shemos? That's why.
Where do you see them? Bereishis, you mean?
That's why they're bringing the pasuk from Bereishis.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That's the pasuk of Pshat. But yeah.
How was he foreordained?
Yeah. How was he part of the Bria?
How is he?
Yeah. How was he part of the Bria? So the Maral is saying, what's the uptight of Moshe? See Rashi here, by the way, on the side. Bishagam who? Bishagam begematria kemoi Moshe.
Uh-huh.
That's the same gematria.
See, we come down well because it's really the beginning and the end of it.
He's from the beginning to
the end.
He's the whole thing.
And the end shows the purpose of the beginning. Yeah. The whole purpose of the Bria was to have a person like Moshe, because Moshe is 120 years, which is what the Torah in the beginning says, is man. Is man. And then this is the ultimate fulfillment of what a man can be.
Right.
And Bishagamu Basar.
So how would, so now let's Rashi brings in the pasuk, V'hayu yama me'a v'asrim shana. Rashi says this, V'kachayu yamei chayi Moshe. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years, that is the essence of man, 120 years. So how do you see this as the essence?
Let's just think that B'shagam u'basar, as Dacha mentioned, that a person doesn't have any potential, a person can't do anything in a spiritual way because he is B'shagam u'basar. The answer is that, yes, that the person is 120 years, that's what he's got in his basar role. But the end of the Torah shows you, the development of the Torah shows what a person can achieve in his 120 years, if no one else can hope to achieve, but that is the essence of what a person is.
So it's like this, so let me, let me just say it with a little bit of a different twist. You know, you see sometimes somebody, you know, like, some everybody was zeichet to see like a big tzaddik. I remember I once saw Reb Chatzka Levenstein, the Mashkiach of Panovich, you know. So you looked at him, somebody said once, you know, like you're looking at a malach. You know, like it's a malach. See such a person, I mean, it's like unbelievable, you know. But the fact of the matter is that the whole godless of a tzaddik is that he's not a malach. The whole godless of a tzaddik is that he's a baser v'dov, is that he's a person. This is the achievement and the potential of the human being. So b'shagam hu adam, if you want to understand what Moshe, you're saying it very good. If you want to understand what the potential of man is, look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Self kol self, this 120 years, produced to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to go into it a little bit deeper in a minute, but this is already the simple shot in the Gemara. The B'shagam u'basar, we see a potential, a realization of potential of humanity in the actual definition of humanity lies a Moshe Rabbeinu. Is that what you're saying, man?
Yep.
In other words, in the definition of mankind, you have a Moshe Rabbeinu. B'shagam is Moshe. That's what you meant, right? Right. No, but it's murdered, no? I mean, like, it's an unbelievable thing. That's a mess. B'shagam is Moshe. You want to know what a person can become? Moshe. B'shagam is the ultimate in potential. I think that's the simple stuff. I think we can go a little further. But Haman, where am I here? Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Where do you find Haman in the Torah? It's interesting that the Gemara here, this is not a Gemara in Megillah, or it's a Gemara in Chulin. So, you know, Moshe, Haman. We skipped to Haman, like there's nobody else who we didn't know their essence. You know, Haman min HaTorah minayin. What happened to Aaron, you know? So the answer is, Hamin Ha'etz. Hamin Ha'etz. Where does it say that? Hashem says to Adam Arishan, did you eat from that tree? So Hamin Ha'etz is Haman. You see, Hamin, Haman. Also like a play on words. How does this define, you know, Mayin Shemitah? How does this define the essence of Haman, you know? Did you eat from the tree? So, let me tell you a Pashut Pshat, and then we'll go back and say something a little bit more. The Pashut Pshat's like this, I think. It's a simple Pshat. Hashem says to Adam, you know, I put you in Gan Eden. I gave you everything, you know, Kol Tuv Sheba'olam. It's nothing that you can't have. There's not a tam that doesn't exist in Gan Eden. Not a pleasure that doesn't exist in Gan Eden. There's not a satisfaction that doesn't exist. Spiritual satisfaction, physical satisfaction. So I said to you, what? You can have it all. Just me'etz hadas, from one tree, I'm asking you. Have everything in the world. You know, lay off the tree. I mean, how old was Adam already in the story that he got? What does Adam Arishan do? He goes to that tree. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you know, wasn't enough that I gave you? Like I left out one tree out of the thousands of trees, one pleasure, whatever that pleasure is, some esoteric pleasure, out of all of the pleasures in the world. No, you have to go chappas. So this is the pshat of the person. The person is like, you know, you can have everything in the world, but I don't have that.
That was Haman.
What did Haman say?
Kol
zeh noshavali. Haman had every gedula, every godless. He had ashiras. He was rich. He was famous. He was powerful. He had everything he wanted. The chol zeh eloi shavuli, and all of this is worth nothing to me. Kol zman shemordechai yehudi yoshev b'shar hamelech, because Mordechai is there and he's not bowing to everybody. So you don't have one tree. There's one guy. That one action is not bowing down to you. Forget about it. Look at what you have. So where does this midah? This is the positive shot. Where does the midah come of a person can have everything, but I still want that next piece? I can't. That's hamina eitz. Comes from that. That was the chet of Adam Harishon. And from this chet of Adam Arishan came Haman.
I'm not quite convinced because I don't know that he desired Minoritz as a. I think that his chet was not that he wanted it and went to and found a way to get it. His chet, in my opinion, didn't have the character strength to resist the offer from God.
It's the same difference. I mean, it's the same thing. It comes down to the same thing. In other words,
he wouldn't, on his own, he would never have touched.
Okay, but the fact is, I mean, we all have our, you know, chavos in life, you know, but...
you can't say no to your wife, you know.
But the point is, I mean, right, you're right, I mean, but you're right, the what should have been the response of Adam Harishon? We have so much, you know, luz up, you know, we have so much, we have everything you want. What would he say? Kol zeh l'shavuli. You know, I'll tell you another Hasidic shavart, you know, Kol zeh einoi shavuli. Soif tevis yud kei vav kei, right? You know?
Those tamas.
No. Kol zeh, we have a chassidish yud here. You know, the Rebbe is laying the Megillah, so when they get to Kol zeh einoi shavuli, I wish I could do it. They have like a different niggun. Kol zeh. Because it's the Shem Hashem. Wherever it's the Shem Hashem. But if the Shem Hashem, yud kei, right? You see it in there, by the way? Zeh, it ends with a hey. Einoi ends with a vav. Shava ends with a hey, yeah. And Li ends with a yud. So you have backward yud kei vav kei, yeah, yud kei vav kei. So it's at the end of the words and it's backwards. So you know, this is all. There's a cloud that whenever the Shem Hashem, it's all over the Megillah. By the way, if you'll pay attention, you'll see it's always at the end of the words. The Shem, the yud kei vav kei, is all over the Megillah, and it's always at the end of the words. And if you don't daven with the Rebbe, you don't hear the special niggun, so you got to really, really watch it. But it's always at the end of the niggun because the end of the niggun, the end of the word soifei tevis, represent that it's not obvious. You have to be megala. That's Megillah. You have to be megala amukais. You have to find it. So that's Haman min hatorah minayin. What's the essence of Haman in the simple, on the simple level? Hamin ha'etz. Have to get a little bit further. And Esther min ha'toyer minayin. What's the essence of Esther? Banoichi haster astir panai b'yoy mahu. Hashem says, I will hide my face. Esther sounds like Hester. Hester means to hide. But the truth is, you see, again in the simple pshat, you see that the whole essence of Esther was to hide. Nobody knew her name, her real name. Real name was Hadassah, wasn't Esther. Nobody knew. She didn't tell over where she came from. She didn't say she was a Jew. You know, she was a mystery, the mystery woman. This beautiful queen was the mystery woman. Ahasuerus himself, the most powerful man in the world, couldn't seem to extract from her, you know, like, who are you exactly, Esther? Who are you? And this was Hester. The hiddenness was part of her nature, was part of her essence. Now, the Mordechai min ha'Torah minayin, I want to go back to Mordechai later, but to see Mordechai, he's a leader. I'm purposely quickly over Mordechai. Now, if we, I just want to tell you over Reb Tzadik. We'll see the Reb Tzadik inside. It's very hard to see this Reb Tzadik inside because he takes like a couple of pages, but I copied them for you. But Reb Tzadik understands the Haman min ha'Torah minayin. Where do you see Haman in the min ha'etz? He understands it on a completely different level. Now, it's well known that Adam Arishon, and Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. I mean, what was exactly, let's look at the pasuk over here. The Nachash said that if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, v'yisem kelekim yoydei toy v'ra. So v'yisem kelekim, you'll be godly. We spoke about that last week or the week before. What does it mean? What was the hasas of the Nachash? What is this yoydei toy v'ra? What does that mean? You'll be like God. To know toy v'ra, to know good. How do you understand simple pshat? What do you say, Manny? What's the simple pshat?
Good for
men. Yeah, I mean, what? Before there was no yetzahara. Oh, so is that the simple pshat? I'm just I don't know what the simple pshat is anymore. I don't know. I'm not distinguishing between simple and not simple. How does a goy read this? I just, you know. You'll know good and bad. Like, he didn't know good and bad, in other words, before?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell good from bad. He couldn't tell the rotten apple from the good apple, you mean?
Yeah, there was no concept of chet before this. He only could see good.
Oh, so that's what you're saying. So, I mean, you have to say, that this is what everybody, the Rambam says this at the beginning of Yisrael Yatar, it's a chazal, that when Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, all of a sudden, there was bechira. All of a sudden, there was bechira. All of a sudden, there was choice. There was free choice, which is another way of saying that all of a sudden there was a yetzahara. So, I want to explain here for a minute, in the name of Reb Tzadik, what are the mechanics of this bechira? How did eating from the Eitz Hadas cause bechira? You know, I mean, there's the famous Ramban's question that if there was no bechira, so how did he? If there's no yetzahara, how did he eat from it to begin with if he couldn't do a chet? So what does this mean, there was no bechira? What does it mean? So it says Reb Tzadik like this. I have the Reb Tzadik on the next page if you want to find it, but just trust me for a moment. Says Reb Tzadik as follows, that there was always, in the words of the Ramban, yetzahara mi bachutz. There was always free choice. God created a man with free choice. He always had the ability to do bad. But did we really have the ability to do bad? If God is in front of us, if we're mamish, like, oymed lifnei ha-melech, you know, if we'd be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally in front of us, so is it really a possibility to do an aveira? You have free choice. You know, it's like, you don't talk, like everyone talks lashon hara about their boss. But, you know, when he's sitting right there, you could still do it if you want to. But it's not really a test. It's not really a yetzahara, because the Amos HaMelech, Olav, you know, if a person is standing, Mamish Lifnei HaMelech, I don't mean to say, I'm not talking now about, you know, great madrigas where a person feels that he's lifnei ha'melech. I'm saying, if it was kipshuta, if the shechina was such, this is not the design of the world right now, so it's hard to conceive it as. But if it was such that we would actually be in a situation of shivisi Hashem kenegdi samid, that I could actually, the shechina would be right here, everything would be clear, it would be impossible for me to be chayte. So in a sense, as long as the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is begalui, says Reb Tzaddik, I don't really have Bechira Chavshus. I don't really have that Bechira Chavshus. I have some element of free choice, but I can't really exercise my free choice. By the way, this is the way Tosfos explains, we were talking about, this is the way Tosfos explains Kaf Aleihem Har Kegigas. The Kaf Aleihem Har Kegigas by Matan Torah, right, was they really didn't have a choice. I mean, if you're standing by Har Sinai and you hear God talking, and Koilois and Brachim, okay, I have a choice. I could say, no, I don't want to take the Torah. You know, you're being bowled over by the reality of holiness. You don't really have a free choice. You have and you don't have. Adam Harishon, and this is like the mind-boggling thing that Reb Tzaddik says, Adam Harishon was not happy with that situation. It was a no-brainer. Where is the challenge of life?
It was like a malach.
It was like a malach. It's this is one of the funny things about people, you know, that you can, if you give somebody everything, you know, here's money, here's food, here's shelter, here's everything you want, person wouldn't be happy. In the words of the Zohar, it's nama de kisufa, you know, nama de kisufa is that I want to be able, I need the challenge, I need to be able to work for it. I need to be able, I don't feel, maybe it's this, I don't feel that it's mine. I don't feel like I did it. It's given to me. I'm having it. I'm enjoying it. But it's not mine. It's only mine when I have the challenge and I work for that particular item. So, in Gan Eden, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was begalui, was 100% revealed, there was really no choices for Adam HaRishon. There was no place for growth. There was no challenge. Okay, here I am in Gan Eden. I have everything. That's Gan Eden. if a person wants to imagine Gan Eden, what's Gan Eden? Gan Eden is not where you have to work. Gan Eden is, I got everything. It's there, just there for the picking. Comes the Nachash, she says, what about Toiv V'ra? You know, where's the Bechira really? Don't you want to really have a Bechira? If you'll eat from this Eitz Hadas, what you will do is be master the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this. What you will do is put HaKadosh Baruch Hu behester. God will take a step back. After all, you're doing an Aveira. God will take a step back. And if God takes a step back, it'll be your position to have to uncover him, to be Megala. That's already, you got a job. Now you got a job. Create a position for yourself in this world. So what you do is create a Hester Panim. And by you creating a Hester Panim, all of a sudden you have a Bechira. So you see, a person prefers, this is a hard thing to say about ourselves, but this is humanity. A person prefers to have God behester upon him, because a person has God behester upon him, so now it becomes my challenge. I can't do a chet. It's impossible for me to do a chet when God is standing right in front of me. So go away. Why? Because I want to do a chet? No. Because I want to resist the chet, but I want it to be my resistance. I want it to be my resistance. I don't want it to be something which is just something that I just do naturally because, you know, how am I supposed to be chayte? So what happens over here, says Reb Tzaddik, the mechanics is like mind-boggling. What happens here is Adam eats from the Eitz Hadas, and all of a sudden, not there's Bechira. Bechira was already three steps down the line. All of a sudden, and by the way, I mean, we don't have time for this right now, but if you go through this whole Ramban that you're referring to about the Yetzar Mibifnim, Yetzar Mibichutz, this is Mamish Chat in that Ramban. All of a sudden there was Hester Panim, and if there's Hester Panim, so all of a sudden the terms of relationship between God and man, the terms of my negotiations with mitzvahs and averis, the idea of Toi Vira becomes very, 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 very concrete, right? Becomes like a real thing. And it is amazing how Reb Tzaddik points out that look what happens as soon as Adam eats from the Eitz Hadas, like it's a murder. I underlined it here on this page. Look what happens. All of a sudden, the whole game of hide and seek. It's like all of a sudden, Vayischabe ha'adam ve'ishtoi mipnei Hashem alekim b'toich Eitz Hadas. I mean, come on. Adam and Chava are all of a sudden, they're hiding from God. It's the hiding from God. In other words, it means very simple. If I can't see him, that means he can't see me. In other words, of course he could see me, but it's a whole different level. I'm not lifnei Hashem mamish. So you couldn't have had the situation before the Achila Me'etz Hadas. It was only at the Imakam of the Achila Me'etz Hadas you could have such a situation of Yishabe Ha'odah V'ishtar Mipnei Hashem Elikim B'toy Chay Tzagan. It couldn't have happened earlier.
That's a foolish attitude.
Oh, but it's always a foolish attitude when we're Chayte. Oh, that's the Shtus. Every time we do a Chet, of course God is watching. But somehow or another, at least, you know, at least he's not on my back. You know, at least he's not like mamish in front of me. Lifanai that I can't. It's harder to do a chet in a shul, isn't it? Maybe not. It's harder to do a chet by the koisel. You know, the more lifnei Hashem you get, the more difficult it is. And those are just like, you know, a physical manifestation. So all of a sudden you had a matzav of yischabe adam v'yishtar, and God plays the game. God says, "Okay, by Yikra Hashem Elikim Eladu, by Yomer Lo Yayeka, where are you?" They're hiding, and he's seeking. Smirudik, like you know. So as much as a person, as much as a person can fool himself, that Hakadosh Baruch is not watching. Hakadosh Baruch plays the game. There's a Hester Panim here. We're talking about Hester. Hester is the key word over here. By Yomer Lo Yayeka. It's unbelievable too. Reb Tzadok says, you know, the whole inyan of nakedness, you know, it wasn't an issue until this moment. And all of a sudden, you know, the revealed and the covered, everything has to do with the revealed and the covered, you see, because nakedness is the revealed. It's inappropriate in our new terms of relationship. There has to be cover. There has to be levush. Mihigil l'cha ki eiroi matza. Who told you? Where do you have this? Hamin ha'etz asher tzivisicha levilti achol mimeno achalta. It must be that all of this hide and seek, all of this hester panim, came from hamin ha'etz hazeh. Now let me tell you, this is just the beginning. Says Reb Tzadok, what is the essence? And now let's think about this and just bring this mamash right down to earth, because that's like a bit way out, right? Right down to earth is like this. What is Hester Panim really? Hester Panim is like this. What does it mean that God is hiding? It means that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world is good. There was a time in Gan Eden that it was clear why it was good. After the eating of the Eitz Hadas, it became a mystery. It's no longer clear. Why do the righteous suffer? It's no longer clear the goodness in the koman da'avid rachmana l'tavavid. This is no longer clear. What's clear? And now it's not clear. So it becomes now the tafkid ha'adam, and it becomes now the mandate of the person to see good in bad. But it's not evident. It's no longer obvious. So when you want to talk about Hester Panim, what we're really talking about, do you know, by the way, just on a historical note, you know, if you look through halacha, you find a lot of halachas that don't seem to be relevant, like in Hilchos Tefillah, for instance, says, Ha'oimer moidim moidim mishatken ha'isai. Somebody says, a shliach tzibur, used to be that a shliach tzibur, not like today, went up and you know, created poetry. You know, you didn't put a guy at the amud for his voice so much as his poetic ability. But there's certain poetry which was unacceptable at the time, and Chazal in the Mishnahs, those last Mishnahs there in Brachas, gave us clues as to who you have to watch for, you know, with these great poets. Now we have the Atzik Das Agdala, we're in the standard language, you know. So Ha'omer Moidim Moidim Ha'omer Shma Shma, you know, why? Because it looks like two Rishuyos. So what was this Yetzahara? It's a very interesting thing to say Moidim Moidim two Rishuyos, like. Dividing God into two. So I just want to explain this for a second historically. A lot of people don't realize that dualism, you know, which is your most basic branch, we're monotheists, right? So let's get it clear. We're monotheists. We believe in one God. But I want to tell you what this means. What is the significance of us saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad with so much kavana? God is one. Okay, it makes such a big deal. You know, there's only one God. Because the dualists came along and they said, we believe in God, But it's just impossible to fathom that the God of goodness, that the God who created the world in all its splendor and all its beauty, the God that makes babies be born and gives and feeds, is the same God that did holocausts and pogroms and causes unfair accidents, etc., etc. It can't be. It just can't be. It's incongruous. The two personalities of God. So what was their answer? What's the Pashut answer? They decided that it's not the same God. There's a God of good, and then there's some other force. You know, so some wanted it to be a satanic force, some wanted it to be a God of evil. However you want to understand it, became dualism. So Avraham Avinu was somehow able to see in his godless that no, Kol Man D'Avid Rachmanu L'Tav Avid is the pshat that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the same makor, the same source. Everything is good. Everything is God. God meaning good. The only question is, one is begalui, one is revealed, and one is not revealed. Avraham Avinu was able to see that. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see that. People couldn't see it. And then they felt, and if you're involved in Kiruv a little bit, as I have been in the past, you'll know that Satanism is alive and well. You know, Satanism, I mean, it's just like an unbelievable thing. And, you know, people, you know, hear about, you know, Satanists and they're worship doing child sacrifices and all, you know, like they can't, and the guys must be on drugs. They don't understand what they are, but they don't understand, like, you know, why would anybody want to get involved in this kind of thing? It's so eerie and so forth. But, you know, the belief is a very, very old belief that if it's not God that's doing everything, God's doing the good, but we must always throw a bone to the devil. That's the basic dualist belief. So what do? They do purpose, deliberate averas. To keep, that's the idea of Satanism, deliberate averus, kill kids, in order to keep the Satan happy. That's what Satanism is, and that's what dualism is. The Christians perverted in triplicate, you know, they turned it into a trinity. You know, polytheism, idolatry, all of that, everything but one, everything but Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, as being that there's only one God and He does everything and Kol Man D'Avid Rachmanu L'Tav Avid. That's the history of Judaism. I mean, if you understand what's unique about being Jewish, it's simply this. This is the most important thing, and this is why Yidden, when they were Rachmanu L'Tav, when they were killed for being Jewish, the words that you say, Ishma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, even now, where the secular mind would not be able to fathom in a million years how this is God. I'm saying Hashem Echad. This is God. Rabbi Kiva Hayamayrich Be'echad. Rabbi Kiva was able to see that even this has to do with the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we're talking about, I mean, it's just important to understand, we're talking about Toi Vira of Adam Arishan. What happened was when Adam took from this Eitz Hadas, all of a sudden there became Ladas Toi Vira, there became Toiv and there became Ra. It became totally unclear how the bad was good. There became toiv and there became ra. Hence there became bechira chavshis. But on a deep level, says Reb Tzedek, not just on the level of my yetzahara is pulling me stronger, but on the level is I just simply don't see God in here. You know, I just don't see God. I can't see it. I can't see where God is in these things. What is the ultimate, and it's just so logical what he says, it follows so perfectly. What's the ultimate test in Toi Vira? The ultimate test is Amalek, says Reb Tzedek. The ultimate test is the Nazis, you know, the Amalek, which have no redeeming factor, the Amalek which have no good in them, just total bad. Like, why did God create these people? That's the ultimate in Hester Panim. Frek the Gemara, Haman minatayra minayin. Where does Haman come from? Where did it come from? The answer is Hamin Ha'etz Hazeh. Came from the it's all part of the Hester Panim, which was created by Adam Harisha in Gan Eden. So says Reb Tzedek. And that's the hiding. And that's why the Yud Kei Vav Kei, you know, the Shem Hashem, is hidden. Everything is hidden. So when we're talking about, you know, Esther min atayr minayim, Esther panay, b'yayim ahu. The whole beauty, Haman min atayr, also has to do with the hidden, and the whole Megillah is the Megala Mukais. And it all comes from the same thing. Rav Tzedek says here, by the way, a Meir Dukkha thing. He says, you know, what are we responsible? You know, so much Hester Panim in the world. Hester Panim means pain. So how could we be responsible for this Chet of Adam Arishan? Is this just like a genetic thing? So you know what he says? You'll see it. I think I do. He says, because if we'd have been there, or if the situation would come up right now, we'd make the same choice. We'd make the same choice. I remember, you know, like in Rebach from Eretz Yisrael toured Israel. So in Sfas, did you ever see this? Not Sfas. It's called Meiron. So Meiron, there's like this arch. There's this arch, and the arch is, you know, going down like this. So there's a Kabbalah from the Arizal, apparently. You know, the top of the arch is breaking. The building's no longer there, just the arch. I don't know where this is from. I don't remember the whole history. But there's the Arizal said that when this thing breaks, when this thing actually collapses, that's when Mashiach is going to come. And people have been watching this, you know, people that know have been watching this for hundreds of years, watching this thing, you know, you can't. So when the modern state of Israel took over Meiron, so the first thing they did is they fixed this thing. It's like, you know, so you see it there, like, it's an interesting thing, like, it's broken, but it ain't going to fall, you know, it's just not going to collapse, you know, it's got this, I took a picture of this, I have a picture, it didn't interest me, the break, it interested me that it was fixed, you know, there's this, when Mashiach comes, so, you know, there goes the challenge, Chayra, Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes Goloi Ba'olam. In other words, if we understand Geula properly, the real Geula on a deep level is that everything, we're back into Gan Eden, you know, like everything, that whole Hester Panim, which Adam Arishan ingested and created into the world, played out, finished, played out, 6,000 years, Hayo'olam, right? 6,000 years, played out. So now we're back into Gilui. And somehow or another, you know, here we are banging the Geula away from us because we don't want we want to be master. So, you know, you see, I mean, I'm just saying it as a muscle, but I mean, it's probably true on every level. Like, I want the challenge. And even we complain about it. Well, we want to complain. that's part of the geshmak of the challenge, that we can complain about it. You know, the Nisayan and the Hester Panim is something which was a deliberate, the Nachash told the Marisha, this was a decision that he made, and all of a sudden you had this Chibuy and the Ayeka and everything fits in. Says Rav Tzedek, the Walaydi says that's interesting. Shikras Adla Yoda. It's the Inyan on Purim of getting this whole. If you have a Rasisei Laila, I couldn't do the whole chapter, but if you have a Rasisei Laila, this whole just a beautiful piece to go through from Tzedek. Just interested me though. So you need a drinking Adla Yada, like we're a cerebral people, we're a thinking people, and yet the Avoda here on Purim is to get drunk, like this Shikrusei Shalait, until you mamish don't know between good and bad. So, so that's the deep thing over here, that if everything, if good and bad is all the same, I lost my bechira. So the real tshuva for Amalek, which is the koyach hara ba'olam, the koyach of Hester Panim ba'olam, of making toy vira, is b'shikras. Now, you know, according to this pshat, like, it doesn't have to. You know, you don't necessarily have to get drunk literally, but he doesn't know the difference. I mean, just think about it; it's so clear. Doesn't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Aror. I'm not even drunk. I'm not. Or by High Vadrego. Aror doesn't know the difference between Baruch Haman and Aror Mordechai, right? In other words, he could say it wrong. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that I could come to a Madrega of Adam Harishain Kodem Hachet, where it's all the same thing to me. Haman, Mordechai, it's all the same thing because I'm able to see the Toiv Shibara and everything is Gilui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only reason why there's Toiv and there's Ra in the world is because of Hester Panim. That's the whole thing. Because of Hester Panim. Hey, now they shikrus adla yada ki levarer dover zeh shigam hakoyach zeh shibaloi das haynu eafsharis lemtsiyus harahu gam kein mirotzen Hashem Yisbarach. Says it here, the next thing, this is 60 pages later.
Would you say that if the incident of the incident hadn't occurred, Adam Arishan would have never had the Bechira of Esau?
As I state, that's not my, that's clear. That's clear that he brought Bechira. Pretty boring world, right? Well, so you're agreeing with that he made a good decision. You see it. You hear it? Here it is. Here it is. He says over here, it's beautiful, Reb Tzadok, it just highlights. Lo yikareis, the Gemara says, Eli yimei Purim. Purim will never go away. Reb Tzadok, afilu kol amoyedim b'teilim, even if all of the Yom Tovim will go away. What does that mean? Yibei Purim lo yikareis. Hainu. Sheim chas v'sholom yigroim chet kol kach. Even if we'll do so many chatoim, shivutol mayadim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the Yom Tovim away from us. According to the Ramban, by the way, that's what happened with the Churban Beis Hamikdash. We're just commemorating Yom Tovim. We're not really doing them. You know, we're not really. But even if he'll take everything away from him, chodsheichem u'mayadeichem sono nafshi, right? There's such a bechina of chodsheichem u'mayadeichem. I hate, don't even do it. This is from the Navi. Why? What does it mean? Ki chol moyadim oisois al kesher Hashem yisparachem Yisrael d'layasa ken l'chol goy. The ayantiv is pshat, a Pesach, a Sukkot, a Shavuos is the pshat that, you know, moyad, you know, Shmini Atzeres is the pshat, kosha alai pregasim. We have this kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on yantiv. So even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to see you any longer, right? You know, son of nafshi, I don't want to see you any longer. Afal pi shebe'emes, oops, I don't know why I... Yeah, so he says here, "Bikol makom eskudat a little cold man shloi niglas elamaris ayin near nituk akasher chasushon." Yomtiv, the Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, is the Yom Tovim where we have an open, warm, cozy, fuzzy relationship with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Avol Purim huaisa brisha bein Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim mitzad sheirish hanelam. But that's not the pshat in Purim. The pshat in Purim is that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even behester upon him. Even where it seems that there's no relationship, I don't have the relationship with Galui. Nevertheless, behester, there's always a relationship. Where I'm taking the hester upon him, and I see that. So the Reb Tzadok's Purim, he says at the end of this whole chapter, he says that... I wrote it because I didn't. Avodoseinu lichtoiv megillah la'atzmeinu. That says Reb Tzadok. Like there's an avoda to every person has to write their own megillah. So what does he mean? I think what he means is sometimes hard to know what he means, but I think what he means is that every person has to write their own megillah. That again, you know, if a person, you know, can look back at 20 years, you know, they say like 20 years tells the story, right? A person can look back on 20 years, you can see how the pieces fit in. No. Very difficult, you know, difficult things to go to, but you can see where the pieces fit in. But but you have to write a Megillah. Lichtoy Megillah la'atzmeinu is to make those pieces fit in. And I'll be Moshe Marotzadik that Hakayru l'mafreya lo yotze. That's the Tinnit Shulchan Aruch. To start from the back and to write our memoirs and to say, you know, this is what happened to me. Look how this fits in. Look how that fits in. Then you're not, you know what, we're not teaching our children the message yet. All you're teaching your children to do is to write their memoirs at the end. At the end, you'll see how it all fits in. The lesson here is the emunah to go into it realizing that there's toiv, and then there's toiv shebehester.
The double meaning, adulayada, the
emunah.
The
emunah
is always
adulayada. In other words, even if it's what that's what you say, even
but
if it's
prayer is always adulayada, right. That's emunah. Emunah is blind faith.
Blind faith. Beautiful. In other words, even if it's at a point where it's impossible for me to understand it, adulayada, even if it's a point of adulayada, nevertheless, that's the chiyuv of lichtav megillah la'atzmeinu. Okay. Shkayach.